All right, that's the right button. Because right before this, I said, okay, you ready to go, Holly? Okay, 3, 2, hung up on it. Hit the other red button.
Dick.
An appropriate beginning for, I think, what we regard as the last mile marker of sanity before bowl season really starts to, you know, like, get to chewing on you.
Yeah, because it's the last game before the Champ Sports Bowl, which is when we have to start thinking about which game it was that used to be the Tangerine Bowl, except that they both used to be the Tangerine Bowl, and now they're played in the Citrus Bowl, but we'll get to that.
And where we're already starting to forget who won what.
Yeah.
Right? Because remember the Gilda and New Mexico Bowl all the way back on December 15th?
I remember the New Mexico Bowl because I was really angry that I didn't get to go to the New Mexico Bowl.
That and the famous Idaho Potato Bowl. Bowls of yore. Bowls we have already largely forgotten.
I dare you to tell me the score of the Poinsettia Bowl.
Oh man, BYU broke it up late. Like it was, what, like 30-6 or something? Like it was ugly as hell.
Just kidding, I don't know either.
What was it? Now we have to
see. No, I'm not actually looking at it. I was just hoping you would.
No. Here we go. It was 20. There we go. 23-6. I knew that, like, there was a 6 in there. Yeah, that was it. But it was really, like, it was pretty tight until, like, San Diego State just, like, gave up the booty. Like, repeatedly.
Like.
The bowl we're supposed to be discussing is the Independence Bowl, which, as we all know, is pretty much maybe the worst locale in all of Boulder.
I know pretty much about it, and I actually went there this year after, like, 6 years of us making jokes about Shreveport.
Yeah, and your review?
Well, I'd never been sexually harassed in a booth before. But I've also never been to a drive-through daiquiri store.
Shreveport, Bossier City. I'm going to defend it because someone has to. By saying this, that the hotels, while not affordable for this game, are also not paying too much for what you're getting. Is that damning with faint praise?
That is like white glove church bitty bitchery.
Yeah. The casinos.
And that's a statement worthy of Phil Fulmer.
The casinos are open and they contain, they have air conditioning. That's another thing that you can say about this bowl game. Playing in this bowl game, the Warhawks.
Underrated content. That's the problem. Like, this is a really good football game and you're going to have to go to Shreveport if you want to see it.
Yep. And you're either going to have to go to Shreveport or you're going to do what we do, which is sit on the couch at 2 p.m.
and see what Todd Berry looks like in daylight.
Yeah, and see, because
honest to God, I'm not sure.
We've really, 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 really not gotten enough of the ULM Warhawks, especially because this is one of the few teams that will run two quarterbacks out of the backfield. At all times. It's like one trick play. That's the entire offense, and it's delightful. It's the kind of college stuff that just wouldn't work in the NFL until someone does it.
And yet, if the latter half of Ohio's season is any indication, they're not going to be able to defend it.
Exactly.
Despite repeated exposure to it.
For some reason, you like the Ohio Bobcats, and I'm just going to confess that with the Bobcats, I hate watching this team.
I hate watching this team, too, but I stand by what I said in August, which is that they had the best chance in America to go undefeated after that first game at Penn State, thanks to a MAC schedule that consisted of zero teams that finished with a winning record in 2011, and a non-conference schedule that consisted of Penn State, New Mexico State, Marshall, and Norfolk State. They had the best chance to go undefeated. They just chose, repeatedly, starting like in week 3, not to take advantage of any of those chances. They lost to every decent team in the MAC they faced. They beat UMass by 3, Marshall by 3, Akron by a touchdown, Buffalo by a touchdown. Yeah, I don't really like watching them either. I'm kind of thankful that they finally started losing.
They really amuse me when they get behind, because you've never seen a team that feels more hopeless. Like, they're okay if it's like a 10-13 game, right? 13-10, they're down by 3, they're cool. If this team goes down by 10, oh my God, it's like watching a fat man run after
a donut. It's like watching Tennessee football.
It's like watching a fat man run after a donut truck. It's just sad. Yeah, it's just, it's really kind of sad and hilarious all at the same time. That said, they're not a bad team. We just know that ULM, basically playing a home game, is going to absolutely wax them. Call Dave Lamont, Kelly Stoffer, and Kara Capuano. Kelly Stoffer, given the gift, like the gift of drinkability is to beer, the gift of anonymity.
I'm nearly positive that I've met Kelly Stoffer more than once, and I couldn't pick him out of a lineup consisting of people who don't even look like him. It's weird. His face has been burned off like Will Smith's fingerprints. This isn't a dig. I just can't summon his face in my head, and that's freaking me out a little bit.
Yeah, he is one of the most, I don't even know, forgettable, because that would imply that you ever remembered.
No, but it's like he would be a really good assassin.
Exactly. Master assassin.
He would be a fantastic assassin. What did he look like? A guy?
He looked like Kelly Stoffer. We literally don't know what this means. Kara Capuano, also on the call. We like her. She's cool. This really should be the SEC-ACC matchup, or an SEC-Big 12 matchup, but lo, how the Advocare 100 Independence Bowl has fallen.
Fallen to a much more interesting matchup than, like, the 9th choice SEC team and the 14th choice ACC team.
Yep, and you
should... It's a treat. I'm not kidding. This is a treat.
And remember, the best part about the Independence Bowl is that there's another game on right after it.